everybody. How's everyone? Who's still in the turkey coma? Yeah, I know. How many of you, just let's do a quick poll. How many of you had fried turkey? How many of you did not? Only the people who raised their hand for the first one really had a good Thanksgiving. The rest of y'all, man, I'll tell you in a minute. Father, we're excited about this day. I pray now, Lord, that as we present this message, Lord, that it's going to be an impacting message, affecting lives, not just today, but in the days to come. And I pray, Lord, for your help and your grace to deliver it today. I pray for every ear in this room, every heart to be open to receive it. I pray, Lord, that we would be challenged today. I pray that your word will make us think and make us consider our lives and make some decisions, Father, that would reflect the direction that you want our lives to go. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. So I fried 28 turkeys the other day, which was fantastic. Just fantastic. I know last week I was telling you in the sermon about it, and so I just want to report to you that we fried 28 turkeys for Thanksgiving, and ours that we fried was actually pre-smoked and then fried, and so glory to God for that. Let's give the Lord, no, it's not. Anyway, I hope you had a really, really good Thanksgiving, and also thank you to everyone who gave me some birthday shout-outs. I turned 29 this year, and so feeling really good. Feeling really good. So let's go to the word this morning before I say some stuff that I don't need to say. Genesis 11. Genesis chapter 11, verse 3 and verse 4. Now let me set the scene here. Mankind has been progressing since creation at this point in time, and they have come together and they're congregating together, and they've decided that they were going to build a city. And in this city, they were going to build a tower. You may have heard the story of the Tower of Babel. It's in the book of Genesis. And they were building this thing. And really what they were trying to do was they were hoping to build this tower tall enough that they could reach heaven with their own efforts. That was the whole point of what they were trying to do. That they, if they came together and worked hard enough, that they can build this tower and that they could reach heaven on their own. And so I'm going to pull a couple of verses of scripture out of there this morning to present something to you that I believe is going to have significant impact on your life. So Genesis chapter 11, verse 3 and 4, it says, "Come," they said, "let's make great piles of burnt brick and collect natural asphalt to use as mortar. And let's build a great city with a tower that reaches to the skies, a monument to our greatness. And this will bring us together, and this will keep us from scattering all over the world." This will bring us together. This will keep us from falling all apart. Now, I want to use the example this morning of this game. Anybody in here ever played that little game called Jenga? Y'all remember back in the day when it first came out, it was pretty popular, and this is the yard version of Jenga, where you start out like this, and then you start pulling the different blocks out, you know, to see how tall you can get, and hopefully you won't knock it down. How many of y'all were good at this? How many of you were terrible at it? How many of you were the one that knocked it over every single time? You didn't get invited back the next week, did you? I know. And so, you know, the whole point of the game, you keep going like this. And really, when you look at this, this is kind of the course of our life, I believe. We're constantly, there are things that are moving around. You know, my kids are changing. They're not little anymore. They're growing up. And so now we're going into that middle and high school phase. And so we got a lot of things that are moving, a lot of moving pieces that really what we're trying to do is we're trying to balance out. Anybody ever tried to get some balance going in their life? Let me see your hand if you ever tried to balance out. How many of y'all are good at it? Yeah, I know. And so we keep going for it, though, because we believe in our mind that if we keep doing this, that this life that we're building is so great. But the key, we always believe that the key to this thing is going to be some balance in our lives. And I just want to tell you, in 42 years of living on this earth, I have found this, that balance ain't for real, y'all. Now, some of y'all who read that little book, you hate me right now, but the rest of us who live real life, come on. How many of y'all have found out it is just impossible to bring balance to our lives? Two people, thank you. Okay. Some of y'all, you want to egg me right now. You just don't believe what I'm saying. We're trying to stack it all up. We're trying to place everything exactly. Watch this. We're trying to schedule it all out. We're trying to time it all out. Trying to make sure that everything falls perfectly in its place. And then our child decides that they don't like that plan. Anybody have a child that may have decided they didn't like your plan at some point in time? And it begins to affect your timeline. It begins to affect your emotions. Am I right? Come on. Don't act like you ain't never got a little worked up over a child not wanting to go along with your plans. Or maybe it wasn't a child. Perhaps it was a spouse. Don't look. Don't look at him right now. Do not look at him right now. I know. Or maybe you're a young person and you thought you had it all planned and your parents just told you that two-letter word that you hate to hear and they just straight up told you no. You had it all planned. It was all great. And you're trying to figure out how to make it all work out. And so let me move this little piece right here. And let me try this right here. And things are getting a little shaky, but I can manage because I've done this long enough. Come on. And don't act like we don't cheat. Like this. We're trying to hold everything together to try to get everything to stack up. You ever cheated in Jenga? Before, you're not supposed to touch the rest of it, but what do? We sit there, hold on, let me get this piece out of here. It's a lot of times what we're doing with our life, and really what we're trying to do is exactly what they were doing here in Genesis. They were trying to build this monument. Watch this. It was a monument of greatness, and there's nothing at all wrong with greatness. It's just in how you go for it. And evidently, these folks had their plans of what they thought needed to be done in order to reach it. But God had his plans, because ultimately what God did was God put a stop to their building process by confusing their language. In other words, it became a communication barrier. Anybody ever had a communication barrier in their house before where I'm talking and I don't feel like none of y'all. You hear how I'm saying that, huh? Because all that good English goes out the door once you lost your cool. None of y'all are listening to what I got to say. None of y'all. Trying to communicate. And so here they are, they're building this tower, and communication became an issue. And the Lord decided to confuse their language, because there was no way that man's attempts to reach heaven were going to be successful. And there are a lot of things that you and I are attempting to do, watch this, in our own strength, in our own might, and in our own power. And God is saying, that is not the way that I intended for this to work. That is not the way that I intended for this to happen. Now, as I've pastored the church, I've had this overwhelming responsibility to convince people and try to lead people to the point that they would surrender their lives completely to Jesus. There's a lot of people that agree with everything that Jesus has done. They like his teachings, but very few people will actually completely surrender their lives to Jesus. They will agree. They'll lift up a hand during a worship song every now and then because they like that song. They know all the words, where there is no way, you make a way. And they're just going with it and everything. But it's hard to just completely let go. Anybody know what I'm talking about? It's just hard to let go. And to consider this our lives, it's hard to just let go of all of this and allow the Lord to construct it, allow the Lord to build our lives. We feel like we've got to have our hands on it completely, because I got to keep it from falling. I got to keep this thing in balance. I got to keep it in check. I've got to put everything where I want it to go. And we have this hard time letting go. And because we have a hard time letting go, watch this, we're holding on to pain from our past. Because we have a hard time letting go, we're holding on to hurts. See, we think it's just the good things, because this is good. Greatness is good, Pastor Wade. Good, great. I mean, that's good. And so we need to hold on to it, but we don't realize that in our attempt to hold it all together, that we're actually holding on to some things that we were never meant to carry. We're holding on to some grudges and some offenses. We're holding on to some sins. In fact, we may not even realize it, but we could actually be holding up an idol. Come on, somebody, just elbow your neighbor right there and say, I don't know who he's talking to. We could be holding up an idol, something that has become so central to our lives that this is all we think about, and all the other things. We don't even worship the Lord anymore. We worship this thing, and all I'm doing is getting God to come and make this thing so good instead of truly worshiping God. There's a little bit of interference there with that relationship. And so we're holding on to these things. We're holding on to doubts. And because of that, watch this. We never really experience God's complete love. We never really experience his complete freedom and his complete peace. And I don't know about you, but it gets frustrating. Anybody ever been there before? Have you ever been frustrated trying to make it all work? And I can't understand why no one will help me, why you won't help me get this thing straight, why they won't help me. Come on, kids. Why can't you just do one thing? I just asked you to do one thing. Come on, I'm preaching to anybody here today. And then the Bible tells us that God sent this man, Jesus, to give us life and give us life abundantly. And you ever did a little comparison there and looked at your life and looked at this abundant life thing that Jesus promises and say, what am I missing here? What am I missing? And so I want to use all of this today to present a message to you entitled, What If? What if? What if? What if we make a plan? What if we got all these things in place to have a great life? And that plan, we're trying to keep everything together so that it won't fall apart. But yet, we never, ever, ever live the life that God meant for us to live. What if? I just want to present that to you today. Because I have a feeling that in our efforts, we're trying really hard. But what if in our trying really hard, we're missing the best that God has for our lives? And I'm not just talking about materialistic things. Let's not go down that road of just thinking of stuff. But I'm talking about living in the peace that God has for you and your life. Living in the freedom that God has come to save us. Amen? He came to give us complete and total freedom. But what if our hands-on approach to all of this balanced life, it's keeping us from the ultimate freedom within that God has come to give us? What if? And what if all of our manipulating ways, because we're trying to make everything fall into just perfect place, and I can't even do this good because I'm going to knock it down, but I'm just trying really hard to manipulate it to get it to fall in place. What if all of those attempts in my life that I'm trying to make just so it could be perfect, what if I am missing God's plan? And I know that's a hard question to consider because we feel like we've got to do something about, watch this, not just something, but we feel like we've got to do something about everything. Everything. Our kids have a dilemma. We got to go fix it. Like, we got to go solve it for them. Like, y'all were fighting over the Legos and like, I got to go in there and intervene. Let's let them have a moment right there and work it out themselves. Like, think of all the things that we feel like we've got to have hands on. Is this what anybody tries to do? And I believe that the motive behind it is actually a good thing because our motive is to have a great life. Am I right? Who wants to live a great life? All of us. I mean, we want to have nice things. We want to have an incredible family. We want to enjoy the time that we have together with our families and with all the people that are around us. And so we want this thing called greatness. But what if we're pursuing this greatness when God wants to give us abundant life? Just what if? And I'm presenting these questions because I just wonder if we're settling. We're settling for our best and missing out on God's best. And again, I'm not just talking like in a possessions type of way, because sometimes I think whenever you start talking about abundant life, everybody just starts thinking of living rich and having a lot of stuff. And I can go to the store on Black Friday and buy everything that I want. And I don't even have to look at the sales anymore because we roll and we live in the abundant life. And that's not the abundant life at all that I'm promoting to you today. But the abundant life that I'm talking about is being rich in your soul. Amen. Where there is a peace that passes all understanding, and there is a freedom that goes beyond just not having any rules, but there are some convictions and there are some things on the inside that causes you to walk on a straight and narrow path. Amen. And not just a broad path, because the Bible says it's the broad path that leads to destruction, but narrow is the way that leads to life. And is it possible that I can live a narrow lifestyle and still experience the abundant life? And I believe it is quite possible, because that is what Jesus came to lead us into. So we dream of greatness. We're striving for it. We're working really hard for it. Come on. How many of y'all are working really, really hard? Because you want great stuff. You want a great life. And you feel like, if I work hard enough, I'm going to earn it. And listen, we've got to have good work ethic. I believe as believers, we should have outstanding work ethic. In fact, our work ethic should be an example in the workplace. Can I hear an amen from someone? And if you're here and you call yourself a believer and you're slacking on the job, you need to get with the program. Amen. I know you're going back to work tomorrow, but God, we got to be an example. And so work ethic is something that we need to have. But at some point, we have to understand you can't work for your salvation. Did you hear that? You can't work for your salvation. You can only earn it because it's a free gift from God. But the salvation that God gives us is what causes the work ethic to be stirred. And so salvation sets us up to do the work, not the work for the salvation. So when the Bible in Ephesians says that he created us to do good works, the good works isn't to earn the salvation, but it's the result of our salvation. Amen? And you could spend your time working on the wrong things. There's a lot of people working on things in their marriage. They're working on the wrong things. They are. They're trying to figure out how to be happy. And that is the wrong thing. If I can change them, what do I need to do to make her happier? What do I need to do to make him happier? The bottom line is you got to work on you. You got to work on some things inside of you. And that's not the license to be selfish. That's the license to be a servant. Come on. Got some things to work on. So this whole thing in life, it's a process, and it's the process of me completely surrendering to God and completely trusting God. But then the things that God puts in my hands and things that God puts in my trust, I've got to work with it. I've got to become a better steward of it. So as I'm working it, I begin to see how God is building my life. So I want to ask three what-if questions today. And the whole point of this is to get you thinking. So you're probably going to walk away from this message today, and in your mind, you're going to have questions, you're going to have thoughts. And that is exactly my goal today. It's not to land the plane and give you 36 steps to having a better life and 42 attempts to balance everything out, six on this day, six on that day, and just, I can't do that, okay? Because I'm going to drive some of you out of your mind trying to balance it all out, and you're going to throw things at people, and we don't need that, okay? So I'm going to ask you three what-if questions that I really want you to ponder and consider for your life, okay? Three what-if questions we need to ask ourselves. The first one is this. What if my plans succeed? I need you to grab this. What if my plans succeed, but I miss God's purpose for my life? This is strong. And I know it's kind of like, whoa, can you ease us into this thing, Pastor Wade? Can you start with something a little bit easier? What if my plans succeed? What if everything falls out perfect? And then God shows me what my life was supposed to look like, and I look at this and I realize that was safe. What if I look at it and say, that falls short of what could have been? See, I've always thought of this, you know, like when we stand before God in heaven, everyone's always presented it as when you stand before God in heaven, he's going to look at you and want to know, were you a sinner or a saint? And if you were a sinner, boom, you're going to hell. If you're a saint, go to heaven. That's always the view. But this is really how it works. The Lord's going to cause us to give an account for our life. And everything that he's given us are all the abilities, all the talents, all the opportunities, all the people, all the relationships, all that. He's going to cause us to give an account for it. And we stand before God. He's going to want to know, what did you do with everything that I gave you? And this is the part that scares me. I have to be honest. I have this idea that I believe the Lord's going to pull open this file cabinet. Well, there'll probably be a little more technology. So they'll shoot something on the screen. And there will be all this stuff that God had for our lives. And then we'll look at what we had for our life. And it won't be God shaming us. It'll be us looking at the possibilities and all the plans that God has for us. And we'll say something like this. Why didn't I just believe him? Why didn't I just follow him? Why did I settle for my safety instead of taking these steps of faith? Think of this. So what if, just what if? What if my plans succeed? But I miss God's purpose for my life. So watch this. Proverbs 19:21 says this. Many are the plans in a man's heart, but it's the Lord's purpose that prevails. We got a lot of plans, but it's the Lord's purpose that prevails. It's the possibility of settling for a great life when God has given us the abundant life. Here's another verse. Mark 8, verse 36. It says, what good is it for a man to gain the whole world? What good is it for you to get everything and yet forfeit your own soul? What is it? Listen, what good is it to hold all of this together and give an outward appearance. I need you to hear this, that as you're walking through that little Target store on Black Friday with your children, that they're acting perfectly, but yet their soul knows not the Savior of the world. Think of that. That they look perfect in their little outfits. In our family, we got our perfect little family portraits and we look good. But on the way home, mom and dad were losing their mind arguing with each other. I wonder if sometimes we deceive ourselves. Come on. We get mad at the devil because he is the father of all lies and he is the deceiver. But what if he's not the one? What if we're doing it to ourselves? What if? Just something to think. Here's another one. What if God has more planned for me than I realize? What if God has more planned for me than I realize? Psalm verse 40, chapter 40, verse 5 says, O Lord my God, you have done many miracles for us. Your plans for us are, watch this, are too numerous to list. Your plans for my life are too numerous to list. That's what I'm talking about. What if we're missing some things because we've narrowed it down to this is what I do? Instead of, God, what do you have for me? He says, your plans are too numerous to list. If I tried to recite all your wondrous deeds, I would never come to the end of them. And this is the reality check right here. Because we're trying to narrow it down to just doing these things. This is what we do. This is it. And then when the Lord comes knocking on our door, I don't have room. If I did that, watch this. If I do that, that's going to throw all of this out of balance. If the Lord says to remove this from our life, now something's missing. Are you grabbing this today? Or if the Lord tries to add something that wasn't, it doesn't even look like it fits, but he said, this is for you. Are we going to forfeit it because it doesn't fit the image? I remember when Cynthia and I got married, I remember drawing out the plans for our life. And this is before I even answered the call of God, because my plan was to become a contractor. That was the plan. I was going to go into construction. I was going to own my own business. And so we started mapping out our life. And as we started drawing it out, everything looked good, man. I mean, we had all the financial plans. I mean, it was stacked. It was looking really good. And we just felt like this is going to be an awesome life. I mean, who wouldn't want to live this life? And so we're high-fiving. And then the Lord calls me to the ministry. And whoa, where did that come from? Because that ain't in the plans. Like, that doesn't work with everything that we want to do. Like, this is a completely different income bracket. There goes the boat. I mean, those were the thoughts. Those were the things that were going through my mind. And so I remember the Lord was working on me, and I wasn't telling her this stuff because she's the planner in the family, and you don't change anything once it's written down in the planner. Like, we don't erase, and we don't do anything in there. She uses ink in, like, four or five different colors or codes for all these different things in our lives. And so let me see what's in green, because that's for church. What's in blue is for kids, and this is for school, all this stuff. And I look in there, and it's just like a rainbow, man, and I have no clue. And so for me to come in there and say, you know, you got to be smart about how you do it. You know, a little sandwich method. You start out with a little encouragement and then squeeze the bad stuff in the middle and then sandwich at the end the nice stuff. I was trying it, man, but it didn't work. And she, this is what she told me. I remember. She said, that ain't part of the plan. And I said, I know. But what do you do? Whenever the Lord says, put this in your life, when the whole time you thought it was just going to be that, what do you do? And I think this, I think some of the confusion that we're dealing with in our lives, some of the stress that we're dealing with in our lives, some of the pressure that we're living with from day to day is to try to figure out what to do with this that doesn't fit in with all of this and get away with it. That's the pressure. And I know that's like, man, you are messing with us today. This is the reality, though, of where so many believers are in their life. This is the lid. This is the distance that they're willing to travel and no further. It's a what if question. What if God has more for you than what you plan? And can I say this is the reality check? Have you ever considered the possibility of how God wanted to use you in this life? I want to throw that at you today. Have you ever considered the thought of how God may want to use you in this life? You say, well, Pastor, I'm raising my family. The Lord has called me to be a mom. You're right. He has called you to be a mom. Roll with it. Be the best mom that you could be. But can I just say, that's not all there is to you. Can I hear an amen from a mama in here? Well, the Lord called me to go and provide for my family. That's right. But let me say this. You got to provide for them, but you got to provide for you too, because you need to eat too, okay? So I get all of that stuff, but the possibility of God using you to have an impact, not just on you and your circle, but others. Because as I look through the Bible, I see over and over how God calls people out of their comfort zone, calls them out of these daily routines that they build for themselves, and asks them to do something out of the norm, out of the ordinary, that is not only going to affect other lives, but it's going to bring fulfillment even to their own. And what's crazy is that we're looking in so many places trying to find something that only comes from the very thing that God wants us to do. That's the only place it comes from. And so we would career hop. And then people go as far as family hopping. Come on, don't make me knock on that door today. And we keep changing things, thinking that change is going to finally bring it to me. And it's not external change that needs to take place. It's an internal change. It's a change of perspective and seeing that God's way is actually better than mine. What if? It's a what if question. What if you are the answer to someone's prayer? I want this to sink down. What if you are the answer to someone's prayer? And can we take the call of God and extend it beyond a preacher? Can we extend it beyond a preacher? Because most people, when they hear the call, they just think of somebody who's going to live in the ministry and be supported by a church and all that stuff. I'm talking about in your everyday life that God, there's a possibility that God will call you to be an answer to somebody else's prayer. That person that you're working with that always comes to you and you continually get these opportunities to share something with. Who knows? They have probably been praying, God, send somebody that is going to help me to do what you want me to do. And what if you're the very person that encourages them every single day? Is there room in your life for that, though? Or are we just in our grind? What if there is a divine interruption? Where the Lord would knock on our door at a time that we were not expecting. Like, here we are, we're jumping into the Christmas season. Lord, you can't right now because we're busy with Christmas. I mean, our focus right now is so much on Christmas. We don't have time. But what if the Lord were to knock on your door today and say, hey, I need you? And what if that opportunity was actually the very thing that you were looking for? But you didn't think that it would ever come wrapped in that package. What if? What if God was waiting on you? What if God was waiting for you to finally just say, yes? What if? Most of the time, we're talking about being in the position of waiting on God to say yes. But can we flip this today? Can we flip the script and ask, what if God was waiting on you to finally say, yes, yes, Lord, I will obey. Yes, Lord, I will follow. So what if God has more planned for me than I realize? Here's the third what if question. What if I completely surrender every piece of my life to God? What if? I just need you for a second to think about it. What if? Because in our minds, when we ask that question, we immediately start drawing up pictures. That's what we start doing. We start thinking, this is what it's supposed to look like. Oh, no, I'm going to have to become Pastor Wade. No, don't do that. Please don't do that. We don't need any more of those guys. What if I completely surrendered every part of my life, not just the Sunday part, from 10 to 11:15 or 11:23, depending on how long Pastor Wade goes. What if? In your mind, I wonder the things that you're thinking of right now. You're probably thinking of a big to-do list of all these different things that you'll have to do. And then you're probably starting to think of all the things that you don't need to do. And then there's the reality of the things that you know you need to do. That's the list that I would say we need to focus on. The things we know that we need to do. But think about it. Every plan, every dream, every schedule, every budget, every relationship, every hurt, every doubt, every insecurity, every worry, every opinion. Strong stuff. What if I surrendered it all completely to God? What if that was the answer that we've been really searching for? But we didn't think that it would ever come in that kind of package. We thought the package was going to look a lot better. We thought it was going to be more appealing. But this package looks differently because it really looks like loss. Am I right? That's what it looks like. It looks like I am giving up everything. That's what it feels like. That's what it looks like. And we have worked too hard for everything to completely give it all up. Am I right? But Jesus said something like this. He said, if you want to gain your life, you must be willing to lose it. And if we'll lose it, we'll gain it. And this is the example. It's like a farmer who is tilling the ground and working it and takes the seed and plants it in the ground and he covers it up. It's buried. It's literally like having a funeral for something that has so much potential. I need you to grab this. Somebody needs this right here. It's like having a funeral for so much potential, digging a hole, burying it, and walking away from it. But what we don't realize is that seed has so much more potential if you have a funeral for it than if you just put it on the shelf celebrating it every single day of your life. So as soon as I bury it and plant it, it has the potential to grow and produce even more. But as long as I just keep it right here in my hands and manicure it and take care of it and just make sure nothing ever happens to the seed, that's as far as we go. And I've got this feeling that we're too satisfied with seed and we're not seeing the fruit and the potential of what God can do in our life because we're just not willing to surrender it. It feels like loss. But it's not really lost because really what we're doing is it's a setup. It's positioning it. It's putting your life in the right position to see the possibility of what God can do. And there is nothing as frustrating as losing. Can I just hear somebody say amen? It's frustrating to lose. It's frustrating to work and not see results. Yeah. Just looking at the seed. It's a beautiful seed. I have potential. Look at my life. This is a beautiful seed. We're going to do a lot with this seed. You see how we're talking here? We're going to do a lot with this seed. This seed's going to do great things. I believe this seed's going to, Lord, I thank you that we're going to do great things. We're going to do great things in Jesus' name. You're going to make a way where there is no way. I don't see how this is going to work, but you're going to make a way. And we're holding the seed, and the Lord's just saying, why don't you plant it? What if we completely surrender every piece of our life to God? Here's the verse in Proverbs 16. Commit your work to the Lord, and then your plans will succeed. Let me say that again. Commit your work to the Lord. Commit it to the Lord, and then. All that work you've been putting in your marriage, if you're not committing it to the Lord, you don't have a guarantee of success. You got to commit it to the Lord. That's why it's not just we working on just you and me. It's got to be us three. Y'all grabbing that? The Lord, he is the middle of the covenant. He is the piece that holds it all together. And so we got to commit the work that we're doing together to the Lord. Raising our children, we got to commit that work to the Lord. And all the business that we're doing with our lives and our lines of work, even as a student, if we commit it to the Lord, he's going to make our plans succeed. If not, it's all on us. It's all on us. And who wants to carry that? It's too heavy. It's too great. The key word here is commit. And commitment is the process in which God's plans are fulfilled. I want to say that again, because people are just doing whatever, hoping that God's finally just going to drop it out of the sky. But commitment is the process in which God's plans for our life is fulfilled. God's plan for your marriage is going to be fulfilled through the commitment to your marriage. God's plans for raising your children is going to be fulfilled through the commitment you have to raising your children. Are you grabbing this? It's in the commitment. But that's the bad word, because I don't have time for all of these things with all of this in my life. So what do? We hesitate to commit instead of embracing it. We're walking away from the very things that we're meant to build. Commitment. I want to challenge you today to be committed to God's ways more than you are to your own. Be more committed to godly convictions rather than our own personal opinions. More than even our own observations, because you ever drew an observation only to find out that you were completely wrong? You ever observed a matter and you thought, oh, I know what's going on there. I could tell you everything about it. And then you realize, ooh, good thing I didn't say anything, because I was completely wrong. This is where we've got to have something more solid. This is where we've got to lean on Him and let His convictions drive and direct our lives. I want to finish up this morning with a personal story. When I was in high school, I had an idea. I was a musician playing in the band, and I was a band nerd, and I was sold out to it. Anybody else in here was like that? Band nerd, sold out to it. I was hardcore into marching band. And over the summer, there were these drum corps that would get together, and they were the best of the best musicians, and I auditioned for one, and I made it. And I was really excited about this opportunity. And at that point in my life in high school, because of the influence that was around me, I decided I'd love to be a high school teacher someday. In fact, I would love to be a band director. I know it's you think it's nerdy. That's great. I had fun with it. Everybody hates on the band nerds. You better quit. They may become your pastor someday. Preach some messages that mess with you a little bit. And when I began college, that's what I was pursuing. And so I decided at the same time I was going to take some construction classes and I was going to do some architecture classes. I was just going to try to ride this whole thing out. And so when I finally surrendered my life to the call of God, of course, trying to figure out what do I do then with all of these desires that I had on the inside of me, because they didn't go away. And you feel like there was a part of you that invested some time and some energy. Watch this. And is it really wasted? That's what I started asking myself. All of those experiences, all the time, all the effort, and watch this, all the finances that I put into it, was it going to be wasted? And I remember when I became the youth pastor at our home church, and I was really excited about it because I was the kid that grew up in that youth group, and then I became the youth pastor of the youth group that I grew up in, and I felt pretty good about myself, and I thought this was a cool thing. But can I tell you, there was still that desire in me that wanted to teach high school students and still wanted to be a band director. That desire was still there. In fact, I would still go back to the high school and chaperone trips with the band just to be around it. I figured if I'm going to answer God's call and do this stuff, I got to figure out a way to make it all work. And I was trying really hard to make it all work. And I remember one Sunday afternoon, our worship team had rehearsal practice one Sunday afternoon, and we were getting them together, and I was doing a little teaching about worship, trying to get these guys motivated and teach them some things so that they weren't just performers, but they were worshipers leading the congregation in worship. And I was in a conversation with this young lady, and she said it to me. She's like, "You get to do what you wanted to do." And I said, no, I surrendered that all to the Lord, and I'm just fully following His calling for my life. She said, "No, you're actually getting to do what you wanted to do within the call that God has for you in your life." Like, you don't understand. Like, I gave all that up. She's like, "You're leading a band here and you're teaching high school students." it hit me. I didn't even see that. It was a different package. But watch this. It was fulfilling those desires. I thought I gave it up. I thought that meant I would never, ever get to do it again. It was almost like this. If I was going to say yes to everything that God had for me in my life, this was going to be my penance. This was going to be the payment to do everything that God wanted me to do, that I have to give up all of those desires. But what I didn't realize was that those desires were actually given to me by God. And I just found my own opportunities to try to fulfill them rather than pointing them in the direction of the opportunities that He would give me. And can I say, there's a lot of people who are shying away from things that God wants them to do because in their mind they're convinced that I will never get to do the things that I want to do if I say yes to God. Only to look, this is what we don't realize. We get the redeemed version of it whenever we say yes to God and follow His plans. It's the exact way, and it has a better return, and it has more fulfillment than if we had pursued it on our own. I look back at my life and think, what if I had become a high school band director? It would be fun, but something would be missing in my life. Something would be missing in my life. I wouldn't be here. I wouldn't be here. I wouldn't have met you. And you say, well, yeah, this is cool for you and all that. You've had just as much impact on my life as I've had on yours. I would have missed this had I just did it my way. But because I surrendered it to His way, those desires that I thought just throw them all away were actually God planted desires in my life that were actually a part of the plan that God had for me. It was just packaged completely different. And there are some folks in here today who are struggling with their lives because they can't let go of something from the past because they think this is the gateway. This is the way to go, only to realize that He makes the way for you. And those desires that are there, God can redeem them and put them in the right place and use them to fulfill the ultimate plan that only has for your life, but even for others. Yes, even for others. So today I just ask this question. What if you say, well, I thought you were going to do the construction thing, the contracting thing and all that stuff. Do you know how many times that whole construction thing has set me up to do things? When we moved in, out of Childs High School to a building over there on Capitol Circle Northeast, all the things that we had to do, I knew all the steps. I knew what needed to be done because of that background. Good thing I experienced it. Good thing I just didn't run with it. I trusted God. It was all a setup. You see, I got a feeling that sometimes we're following a piece, trying to find peace. We're trying to find peace from just one piece of our life. We think that talent, I want to knock on this door a little bit today. We think that talent, that gifting is going to give us every single thing. And listen, can I say this? That gift that God gave you was not just for you. It was for Him and it was for them. Can I say that again? It was for Him and it was for them. The gifts were given to us for the edification of the body of Christ, to build up the church. That's what it was given for. And so if we're looking for our peace to give us peace, it's never going to give us peace unless it's put into the right place. Are you grabbing this today? And when I put it in the right place and I see how it all works together, not just bringing some fulfillment to me, but affecting other people's lives and bringing glory to God, now I'm beginning to realize how all of this stuff works together. God calls us all things to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to His purposes. So today I continue to ask you this question. What if you surrendered every single part of your life to the Lord? Every part, the sweet spots, the success spots of your life. What if you said, God, I will give it all to you. And like a seed planted in the ground, I will give it a funeral. And I'll trust that you will take those things and cause them to produce fruit in my life. See, I thought those desires were dead and gone. I thought those things that I was good at was dead and gone. See, I got a little music in me. Our drummer was out of town today. I had to play drums today. Not a big deal. I can do it. Good thing I could do it. We wouldn't have had a drummer today. Y'all would be out there clapping off, beating all kind of stuff. Come on. What if? As we're preparing for a new year, we're wrapping up 2017, preparing for a new year. We're going to kick off 2018 with a time of prayer and fasting. We do this every year. And as we kick off that time of prayer and fasting, it's beginning to consider, what are some things in my life that I need to go ahead and dig that hole and bury it and let it be seed and surrender it all to the Lord. And make room in my life for all that God has for me instead of all the things that I've been building for myself. And I guarantee you this, 2018 will be one of the most incredible years of your life if you choose to do that. Every head bowed here this morning, every eye closed.